Hello and welcome to the 25th Manx Footy Pod of the season. Today, myself and Disco.
Hi, everyone.
Are joined by Douglas and District mainstays Dave Matheson and Richard Brandt. If that wasn't enough excitement for you, Dave also caught up with Tom Wood and Foxtel manager Robbie Jack after last weekend's dramatic FPI FA Cup semi-final. So without further ado, let's get on with it. Welcome to Podcast Towers, chaps. Thanks for coming in to discuss D&D's season and look ahead to Sunday's Masters Cup final. So, is it what you expected, boys? You know, we build up this picture in people's heads every week. Dave, you know, you're a regular listener. Yeah?
It's not a broom cupboard, is it? I was expecting eaters and going to go for it.
We've had to sort of... The broom cupboard's sort of been sacked off mid-season, hasn't it, Dave?
Yeah, it was getting too popular for us. We were just thinking we'd only have one person in a week.
We were inundated with guests. Well, apart from when Foxdale said they're coming in. But well, yeah, we won't talk about that. You managed to pin him down on Saturday, didn't you, Dave?
Did, yeah, after a crackle cup tie down at Station Field.
So we'll hear a bit more about that a bit later on. But before we discuss the Masters Cup final and stuff like that, I suppose we should ask Richard, maybe we start with you. How do you assess the Division 2 season with D&D?
It's been interesting. So our new manager in, Rick Delaney. It was appointed last summer, fresh ideas, fresh face, didn't have any opinion of any players, didn't know anyone, so it's been, everyone sort of had a kick up the backside and having to prove themselves, really.
And Dave, what about the combi side of things? You know, I think you're towards the foot of the league in that, but yes. I suppose Richard will have had be working with both squads, won't he?
Yes, Combi have struggled a bit this year. To be honest, I think we've got quite a decent squad for the Combi. I do think we're underachieving. I blame the manager, who's myself. there's positive signs. There's been quite a lot of change in the Combi over the past few years. Got a lot of new players, so it might be a bit of a bedding in process, but I still think we need to be a bit further up the table. But still got a couple of games left, so you never know, we might pick up a few more points.
Flip back to the first team. Now, we were talking about this obviously before we started because my stats were as always wrong. But I believe your best ever league's points return is 32, you just said, 2002, 2003, your first season as D&D, wasn't it?
Yes, correct.
We're on 17 at the moment with 5 to play, if my reading of full time is correct, which obviously, Rich, you know, you're a full time aficionado amongst us. Less best result in the last 10 years is 25. Can we get that before the end of the season? What are you thinking, boys?
Well, I think so, yeah.
Yeah, we definitely can. I'm not saying we will, but it's there's obviously 15 points to play for. But, yeah, it's definitely there. I think what we've got to think about short term is just, you know, beating totals from previous seasons. Yeah. And if we're, you know, we're on course to beat last season, the season before, so we are making progress. So it's possibly not going to make that 25 easily, but you never know. We've always ended the season strongly, traditionally, haven't we?
Yeah.
So.
Why not? Well, with you played Foxdale recently, didn't you? It was 2-1. And did that sort of game show you that you can play on your day? You can take the game to the bigger, so-called bigger sides.
Foxdale deserved to win the game, but I don't think we really showed up as much as we know we can. Last week against Brad in the first half, we actually showed up and drew in 1-1 at half time. And then sort of fell to pieces to this in the second half. But going back to what you said, Dave, because I sort of forgot a little bit. it shows you can compete. We beat Foxdale early on in the season.
Yeah.
We had a full strength team. We thoroughly deserved to beat them. So it shows that. And what's good about Division 2 is a lot of teams are beating each other this season.
Yeah, definitely.
Bradley got beat by a Ramsey Youth Centre, haven't we? And so it's been really interesting for that point.
Yeah, we beat Castletown, which has derailed them a little bit. Obviously,
yeah.
they've still well up there, but it's it shows with results against Foxdale and Castletown, you know, concentrate on them more than narrowly losing to Foxdale. And as Richie said, they definitely deserve to win on the day.
Absolutely.
And I think there's fine margins. We had a turtle had a header, didn't he? If he'd have put that in, that could have brought it back to 2-2.
So
just little things really. It was good to get there. You know, we were in the game, you know, that's the key thing, stay in the game. We were in it the whole time. When it went 2-0 and we conceded the penalty, turtle again. So that could have been 3-0. Darren pulled off another penalty save. He's done a few this year. So we were in the game, but it's just a shame we couldn't push on further.
We've had, we mentioned the Cups, but you've had a couple of decent Cup runs this year. You know, you're in the quarterfinals of both the FA and the Woods Cup. We've still got the Hozzy Cup to come. You know, you fancy a crack at that?
No.
Yeah, we've got Peel, haven't we, in the preliminary rounds.
So I watched them play Governors Athletic a couple of years ago, and they went, Governors they went did, 1-0 yes. up. The goal that nearly broke Twitter.
Luke Booth's free kick, was it?
I can't remember. Yeah, I don't know if it was Luke Booth, but you're right, yeah. It was down on the bottom pitch.
Yes.
On the bottom pitch at Nobles, down
yes,
from yours.
The cabbage
so
patch.
They traditionally don't like going to Nobles, I'm going to say that now. Yeah. Traditionally, probably the last time they were there.
we played them 2 years ago, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. We played them 2 years ago, Hospital Cup. You were playing that day, weren't you, Rich? You were playing at the back, weren't you? But the... Yeah, I think it was 8-1 on the day. But to be fair, you know, they beat especially that season, the strength they had, they beat teams higher than 8-1.
Yeah.
They don't concede a lot of goals. We scored against them, hooray. That was when Owen Dawson, I think, had just turned 16. Yeah, but yeah, we'll take that.
I think I remember that. I think I might have been cooking
yes,
that.
Yes, yeah, I think you were down. But yeah, we put in a shift. And again, I'm sure we'll put in a shift. But it shows the Foxdale game last week. You know, I don't think Foxdale are miles apart from us, and they gave Peel a real game.
Yeah, it's incredible.
You know, I was you know really pleased. I was speaking to Alan Lemaire after our quarter final, and he sort of said to me quietly, you know, at some stage one of us is going to get battered, whoever gets through. you know, he's obviously a bit tongue in cheek, but they gave a great account of themselves, and it just shows, you know, the gap is hopefully narrowing for a lot of teams, and. Yeah, so hopefully.
But cup team, the last 5 years, didn't we never won a cup?
Yeah, when I joined the club, we didn't win a cup. We didn't win any cup for 7 years.
We're constructing the league. Like,
yeah. So it was getting to a point, and after the few years, I started looking into it and going, when was the last time D&D actually won a cup game? And then we had a few, you know, I think it was 2012, we started winning cup games again, didn't we? Yeah. Got to the quarterfinals, the FA Cup, Hospital Cup. We obviously got to the semi-finals of the Wood Cup last year. The Masters, we're in the final of that now, and we've won a couple of games in the Cup this year. It's something traditionally we didn't used to do, but it's we're picking up a bit the last few
league,
years.
League football's overrated, really.
Yeah, it's easier to win a Cup because you just have to win a few games.
One-off on-your-day specialist.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So you've talked about Rich. You know, what's the main things he's brought to the table? Really, is he an organizer? Is he a motivator? You know, how would you compare him to say a manager in the professional ranks? What would you? You
Great
know,
question.
Occasionally, we get come up with one, Rich. Yeah.
I would say, I'll come back to who you remind me of in the Premier League in a sec, but he's again breath of fresh air. That's what I'm gonna say. And he listens to players, he's very open, isn't he, Dave? Right?
Yeah.
Obviously, Dave being commie manager, he has a good relationship with him.
Yeah. He's, I like having someone completely got no perspective of anyone.
Yeah.
He comes in, he doesn't know who's been top goal scorers, you know, player of the years in the past. He's obviously researching and chat to me, and he spoke to Lawrence, obviously, before he stepped down last season. But he's tried a lot of different players. He seems to not have favourites. That's a great thing, because obviously certain people come in, a lot of clubs on the island, it's an ex-player, and you know, they'll get someone back who used to play for the club, or someone who's been out of the picture or come back in. But Rick doesn't have that. He's only been on the island for just over a year now, I think. So he's not got that at all, so he's just, you know, looking at it from a completely football perspective. So I'd say that's the main thing.
I was going to say, is it sprang to mind yet? Who you remind?
Yeah, Sam Allardyce, but more for how he looks rather than what he does. Go cross between Sam and Alan Pardew.
Oh,
just because of the grey hair thing.
He's a good dancer, isn't
he?
The main thing he gets called is Paul Hollywood or Gargano, isn't it?
Yeah. You know, so. Although they're not Premier League managers, he does have a few lookalikes here.
But I've got it because I got injured in September, so I've not actually played since then. So I'm really looking forward to playing on the Rick, and then I've got it.
So what's the prognosis for that? Are we out for a while?
So after 6 months, I finally got told I ruptured my cruciate
ligament,
so I'm just waiting to hear back about an operation.
So you've done a proper job on it then?
Yes, fortunately ruled me out of the Ireland Games.
And more importantly, Dave's comedy squad.
But no, so I've just been watching them really.
Director of football role?
Yeah, I like to think so.
Yeah, he comes down, gets involved in in coaching as well when he can, gets involved in match days when he can. But obviously he's got the twins at home, he's busy with work, etc. So, you know, Rich is a great asset to the club. His experience for the club in different roles, especially as a player, and you know, he's involved with the FA, so he's an asset to us. So anything we can involve him in, the better.
Great.
Very
nice.
Yeah. Well, we've got it on tape now, so. So what I was gonna say, Dave, but you, when we get the summer transfer window open, which obviously is something you're very involved in yourself, Rich.
That's great.
There's usually a flood of Douglas and District registrations. You know, how does it work? Are you out on the doorstep in people? Are you rival to Peter Kinnish for that super agent title?
It starts in TT week. You go out with your transfer forms in your pocket, and then you meet them in the bushes tent. We a lot of people seem to want to play for D&D. I mean, I think that's the key thing. The numbers at training are always good. Every year there's always new people wanting to join. You know, it was getting to the stage last summer where we were sort of having to say, you know, we've got two competitive squads here. We want to add to it, but we want first team quality. We don't want friends of friends who'll be a decent combi player because we've got a lot of them. So, yes, we are looking to improve to compete for first team places, but yeah, it's always interesting in the summer. I look forward to the season starting and having it all done and dusted.
He has his window down at all times.
The Redknapp effect.
We'll see Hattie on deadline day with his yellow tie.
Certain transfers do themselves. For example, Mark Quirk told me repeatedly he was signing from Governors. I told him he had to train and, you know, we had to see him. I think he signed on without actually seeing him at training once. He got the form signed by Governors and then just got me to sign it at the FA office. But so it's strange how transfers can work. You can see, you know, to use an old cliche, I like to do my business early. So, you know, I pride myself on organisation, so none of this last minute transfers in the FA office to give Rich a bit of hassle on Saturday morning. So.
Do you think most players want to join the club because of your wealth of experience with Footy Manager?
No, that's well gone by. I've stopped playing Football Manager, unfortunately. But
you have? Oh, I had loads of questions to ask you about Football Manager. Yes. I've got a particularly challenging save with Blackpool at the moment.
Okay.
I'm plunging further and further into the red. But yeah, I'm still top of Scott League 2. But I was going to mention that because Will Miller sent us a tremendous tweet last week asking us about the Fulham job. And we blogged about this in the past, but I'd forgotten that you'd actually got a letter back.
I forgot, as well.
So, but tell you were on the shortlist for the Fulham job, were you?
Apparently so, yeah, if you actually see the letter. But obviously, I know Will. He used to play for the Shoprite team, so that's how I know Will, and he's obviously got wind of it through that. Must have been through me. And so when I was at college, it was, you know...
Just put this out. You were, this is now quite... You know, people do it all the time, though. You were ahead of the curve, weren't you?
I think I was. Because...
So what were you already talking to? Pre-John Tagano, wasn't it?
Yes.
So that's 2000...
Yeah, they...
Mid-2000?
2002. So when I was at college, and I just thought... I heard about one person doing it, and this was, like, on an article or something on a website. This wasn't social... This was pre-social media. Yeah. And I had this idea when I was at college. I started with the Oldham job. The Oldham job came available. One of my friends at college...
Your dream job.
Yeah. Exactly. Said, why don't you apply? And I said, okay. And then I got a letter back. I was like, oh, that's quite nice, isn't it? So every league job that came available, I applied for. Pretty much the same letter. Replaced a few things in it. The name of the ground, some key players, what I expect to achieve, etc. And I got loads and loads of letters back. And I just had one, you know, the hope was, you know, two chairmen would be talking to each other one day and say, oh, this idiot, you are a man. And then it would become a thing. And it sort of died down after that. I had responses from, I think, the Republic of Ireland. Harchester United of Dream Team fame. I applied for that job. I've had chief executive of the English FA, I think I applied for. So Sunderland rejected me twice, and obviously you see their plight.
What does you put in your CV?
It's just you know,
just Football Manager experience.
Well, what else could I go on? You know, I was 18, 19 at the time, and I got a lot of letters out of it. And then about six years later, Yahoo Sport did an article on the internet about it, sort of trying to usurp the other guy who got done the whatever Middlesbrough was it?
I can't remember now.
So they'd sort of tried to put me ahead of that, but yeah, it was
So what is the Football Manager achievement you crow about most then? Because like I've taken out Al Rath.
I'll be honest, Andy, a lot of it was lying.
Oh, Dave,
if you apply for 70 Football Manager's jobs in the UK, I'm not going to have managed all of them. But I lied and said I got
them.
So
you would do it with that specific club and say?
I would say I had. You know, I wouldn't always say I got Oldham to third in the Premier League. Right. And we got to the UEFA Cup final.
Right.
Which that was true, by the way. Okay. But the. Yeah, so it was basically copy and paste, and you know, I didn't have that much time to play Football Manager to manage. You know, as soon as a job became available, quickly start a new go and get them where I wanted to go. So yeah, it was.
That is phenomenal. Yes. So what was your? So you're telling me now this is actually going to ruin my dreams that you never did a Football Manager job with Fulham.
With Fulham, I probably did. Right. If you go back to Championship Manager 97-98, which still, probably 20 years later, I still play pretty often.
Yeah.
Fulham are in third division on that, so it's like, oh, Fulham, quite a big club, let's get them up. So yeah, with Fulham, I probably did with that one.
Mikuku Zola up front, was it? Or
no,
Jimmy
it,
Flood,
it would have been Bjorn Heidenstrom controlling the midfield. Set pieces 20, influence 20, and then you can't go wrong.
This is the thing I said last year. Do you remember when, you know, obviously England got beaten by Iceland and everyone said it was a shock? It wasn't to me. You bought 11 Iceland lads on Football Manager, you'd win everything, wouldn't you?
Yes, yeah. There was an Arsenal defender, Valofino Gislason. He was quality in the...
It's easy for you to say, yeah,
well, that might not even be his name, but it was in the late 90s. There was a few good Icelandic
players. Andre Sigtorsson was always one of the
best.
Oh,
yeah, he was brilliant. Yeah. He was a lovely man.
Bjarni Gudjonsson, Newcastle legend, of course.
Chembo Samba, I read an article about him. That's his career now, just appearing
just
as
saying I was on Football Manager.
Yeah.
That's
amazing, isn't it? Rich, any Football Manager experience?
No, I never played it.
How are you two?
I can't be dealing with it. I'd rather I play FIFA.
Yeah.
I can't.
I like to dally with both. You know, a foot in both camps.
Yeah. Is your manager mode on FIFA?
Yeah. I've just started a game. I've started with myself. You know, you can be a pro.
Who are you playing?
I'm at Blue Blackpool again. I don't know why I've got my Blackpool. I've got no
affiliation,
Richardson,
I think, don't you?
Yeah, oh yeah, it wouldn't be a Roman.
Striker,
yeah. I'm currently worth $3.2 million.
Decent.
Well, decent enough, yeah. I'm not scoring enough to my liking. I've only conceded, at the back, I've only conceded 5. I think I lead from the front defensively. An old school, chase your man down.
You need Charlie Adam working behind you, don't you, I think?
Yeah. Well, they've actually got some decent players out of Blackpool. People that have probably at once point graced the Premier League. I'm trying to think of a few.
Defonso back.
Defonso's by there, big Nathan, yeah. But I don't think he's on that FIFA save. We're digressing here, aren't we? We are digressing. This is a private conversation.
No, this is fine. This is good. This is what the listeners want.
The only thing I want to ask, though, are you going to get Sports Interactive to, you know, sponsor your training tops or anything anytime soon?
That would
great question. If they're listening and they want to get in touch. Obviously, we've already got great sponsors, by the way.
You have.
We have Specsavers for the seniors, Motor World for the juniors since 2012,
Clang.
And Skanko as well for the girls. So we have great sponsors, so I just want to say thank you. But if
Miles Jacobson, who is the head of... He's very active on Twitter.
Is he?
So I might tag him in when I launch the podcast, and we'll see what happens. We can make dreams happen.
You never know.
No, I suppose we should get back to the Manx football, shouldn't we, Dave?
Yeah. There's the small matter of a Masters FA Cup final coming up this weekend, boys.
Yes.
Obviously, it's been a great season for the Masters. How do you think you guys will get on Sunday?
Colby, isn't it?
Colby. Yeah. Looking forward to it. Really am. Colby definitely the favourites. But yeah, looking forward to it. Played them 6 weeks ago in the league. We only lost 3-1. We won all at half time, and I wasn't there that day. But Enzo Chiapelli, our chairman/masters manager, told me we gave them a really good game. We could have won it towards the end. Pete Kirkham hit the post, and then I think they got a couple of late goals, and we were pushing. But it shows we can compete. But Colby, great Masters side. Obviously, they show something to beat Peel in the semis.
Yeah,
and they won the league. I think they won every game last year. And they smashed us 8-0 last season, but it's seems to be working differently for us this year.
I'm going to ask you, because you obviously got a foot in the combination camp as well. A lot of people are saying the Masters football, perhaps because the age group is 35, is taking people away from combination football. How have you found it? Are you finding it? It's actually not a problem at all? Or?
Yeah, for us personally, I think it works fantastically, and I know other clubs feel the same. Other clubs, which tend to probably be the clubs that don't have Masters team, on as in favour of it, The way it worked for us, we started in 2011 and we had a very aging combi side. We had a lot of lads who'd been playing for the club 15 years, given a lot of service.
Wow.
And they were happy to carry on playing and giving service because they had for so long. However, they weren't always able to make training. They weren't always 100% fit. So we added the veterans team and that moved a lot of players on and they were happy just playing veterans.
Yeah.
So that meant we kept a lot of players involved in the club who'd been there since the start. And then from that, we had an influx of younger players, different players to take up spots in the combi and push up to the first team.
Yeah.
So for us, we've effectively got three squads. So if we're ever short, we can call on the masters. So again, it works in our favour that way. However, you know, there's only a few that play here and there. Liam Thompson and Tony Stewart still play combi.
Yeah.
And Kev Schofield plays first team. Liam and Tony tend to only really play one or the other.
Yeah.
So, you know, they'll play combi. If the Masters are short, they'll play Masters. So, and we've got Paul Kamada, who's our Masters goalkeeper now, dual registered. That's just because he's a goalkeeper, because there's so many people just going in nets and doing us a favour.
Yeah.
So, for us, it works perfectly because we keep people involved in the club. We've got more players. It's not the same players. It's not players playing twice in one weekend all the time. So for us, it works absolutely perfectly. That's what it's for. I don't think 35 is an issue. I think it's the amount of players who are playing both games on a weekend, because you don't want to see someone getting two sets of games and then someone who plays for just Masters standing on the sidelines for the whole game. It's not what it's about.
Well, as I say, Dave, but do you think this comes back to your recruitment thing? Because obviously you're very proactive. You know, you joked about being out with a transfer form, but do you think this is where some clubs fall back, that they just expect players to turn up to training, you know, and say, all right, our training's on such and such night, be there, you know, rather than approaching people or trying new avenues, maybe looking at the business league for potential players, stuff like that?
Well, people, as I said before, people seem to enjoy playing for D&D. They want to come to training, they want to play for the club. They want to get their friends to join the club as well. The past couple of years, we've obviously had numerous years where lots of people left, but the past couple of years, last summer we didn't have anyone who left. And the previous year, again, it's very, very low amount of people leaving. So, yeah, it's another thing with the Masters. I'm regularly keeping an eye on people turning 35 that have played for D&D in the past. So, you know, it'll often be a happy birthday, how's it going, mate? Do you want to sign for the Masters? Which has happened a few times in the past. It's another thing about bringing new Masters players in as well, but the players for the senior squad tend to just come about, you know, someone signs from a club, they enjoy it, they tell their friends they enjoy it, they tell their friends what it's about, they come down pre-season, they enjoy it, and we sign them on. So the past few years, I think recruitment's been really good. We're obviously active on social media quite a lot, so, you know, we get a lot of engagement through there. And, you know, I might be wrong, but I think we got Paul Kamada through social media. I tweeted about a Masters goalkeeper, and he DM'd me saying, I'll play for your Masters. So, you know, it just shows it's useful.
DM. Nice pun.
Direct message, not Dave Matheson.
Right, Dave, we've got.
I was just going to say, do you think then, you probably caused Hattie to have a nervous breakdown here, would you think you could extend the curse of Nino, as he likes to say?
Yeah, he's undercover, he's a stats man like yourself.
What's his stat then?
Well, apparently, I've obviously found that out through Hattie, through his great work. It was, Chris Neen has lost four finals in a row for the Masters.
Ah. Which, hot shot, and I think
he scored 30 goals last season, he only played about 10 games, so that's impressive, and he scored a great goal against Peel in the semi. So I think the question was, do I want the curse to end? So the question is, do I want D&D to win the Masters Cup final? Yes, Hattie, I do. But it's obviously for Chris, it'd be nice if he doesn't lose five in a row, but that's not why I'm here to get happening, really. But yes.
Okay, so on that note, we've got an absolute shovel load of Twitter questions, haven't we, Dave?
We've been lucky this week.
We think this is a season high, don't we?
Yeah, we have had to censor a few as well.
Yeah. So. Well, you kick off, go on with our regular contributor.
Well, yeah, I think we've seen this man plenty of times on social media, especially you, Dave, in the last 24 hours. But Johnny Hogg wants to know, who's the best, to you, Rich, by the way, who's the best match official you've seen this season?
I think Johnny's fishing, to be fair. But
as always.
Yeah, it's 25th week in a row, exactly.
I would say Johnny is a good ref, to be fair, but I would say Mikey Allison.
Oh, nice. Newcomer,
We like Mikey.
He just talks to you, keeps you informed during the game. You're allowed to ask questions, like, as long as it's obviously
relevant.
Not, yeah, and not as descent.
What's your favourite cheese?
That might take the game a bit long. But really, really happy with Mikey when we had him early in the season. Good lad,
Adam. Yeah. Good one. Right. And Johnny, I'll also ask this one for you, Dave. Any of the Masters boys fancy taking up a fish here?
I obviously can't speak for all of them, but I've not heard of any saying, oh, is there a ref course coming up?
There was one in June. Scott Campion was on the other meeting. He was telling us 11-1.
I will ask the question on behalf of Johnny to the squad. But
who do you think would make a good match official out of your
Tony life? Stewart.
No.
Because sometimes the ones who give it the most, you think that's
no, I think he'd have a very short fuse, Tony. Well, it depends what you're going for. If you're going for attitude or fitness, etc.
I think you need a bit of both, don't you?
Kev Schofield. He we had our 20th anniversary last year. And we had a Legends game amongst ex-players and current players and so on. And Legends is a loose term for most of the people, including myself. And we had Kev Schofield reffing, because he's obviously only been at the club a couple of years, but he's involved in Masters. Yeah. He knows a lot of the older players as well. So I thought he's a great ref on the day. He's a school teacher as well, so he'd keep him in line.
Discipline, yeah.
He sort of referees our games anyway when he plays first team. Like every single throw, every position take.
What's that back foot, ref? How is he every time? Because even if it's nowhere near, going to be outside, but he's just in the ref's ear all the time. So yeah,
there's always one, isn't there?
There's always one. Rich, a colleague of yours, Lewis Coltrow, has tweeted in, who's the best first-time finisher you've witnessed at walking football?
Again, another fishing for a compliment here.
You don't tell me Lewis plays walking football.
You don't know he's 51.
you can tell they're busy at the FA when they all wander off to play walking football.
I retired a couple of years ago from this, but at the time...
How old are you, Rich? 52?
At the time, I was probably saying myself, well, I was probably a good first-time finisher, but in all seriousness, Mark Stevens, you know the referee?
Yeah.
Great first-time finisher, because he doesn't take a touch, he just shoots from literally everywhere he's on the pitch, he shoots.
We had a go at this. Did we have a go at broken one? I don't remember a Crunch Dudley Butt from MLC. Is it a current MLC? Yeah. I absolutely flew into him. I got the ball though, so we played.
Yeah, that's the main thing.
But it gets pretty heated, that. I think because people can't run off their frustration. It's all put in close quarters battling.
Very competitive.
Is Adrian still playing, Adrian Higgins?
Yeah, he sponsors through Spectators Walk. Well,
give it a plug then, Richard.
I was just about to actually.
When's it on?
It's on Thursdays.
Yeah.
12-1 at the NSC. So two halls there. Yeah, both halls are booked that way.
Wow, that's still up. Is it a pound of throw still?
Yeah, pound.
Any age groups or?
50+.
50+. We might just get in that one. Yeah. That's about, we agreed that was about our level, wasn't it? Yeah. Walking football. Yeah.
Well, I don't run anyway, so.
There should be another one, walking football for people who are under 50. Yeah. Just don't run.
Another development option for you there, Rich. You know, get back that on the team when you get. You know,
what was that one? Sorry, I was
just walking. You were adjusting your hair, weren't you?
Yeah.
Walking football for under 50s, maybe.
Yeah, for people who can't run anymore.
Yeah.
A lot of people do that anyway.
One of your other colleagues at the bowl, Amy. Of course, we've had in the podcast herself this year.
Yeah.
Who in the office spends more time, more of the day, checking themselves out on their phone or in the mirror?
Right. Well, that's Lewis, like, hands down, because I've got my own room now.
You got your.
That's a broom cupboard.
That is a broom cupboard. Yeah. That, like we said earlier, wasn't it? There's no Ed the Duck in there. Where was I going with this? Yeah. So I haven't got any reflections anymore. So I'm quite content.
Right.
Lewis will literally every single like reflection, whether it be a window, a glass, a knife. And the problem is that the FA, not a problem, but there's only, the toilets have only got one mirror, so the ladies have got a mirror, the men's haven't.
Oh.
So every time you'll see Lewis just quickly have a little, look up. I don't do that because I'm professional. But.
So that sort of answers the next part of her question. Who spends the longest on their hair in the morning? You say Lewis or... although there is a rumour that you blow dry your hair, is that correct?
Correct.
Yeah. So how long does that take?
10 minutes.
Yeah.
Dedication.
I just let my hair. I was saying to the boy, I was running late for something the other week, and I gave it, put the hair dryer through it, and it looked like Egon Spengler in the Ghostbusters. It just went up.
Yeah.
Like I had a high top, and it wasn't. I haven't got a high top really. I've no Dave, more of a swept over. But
so the D&D changing rooms have to have a hairdryer fitted just in case.
Well, some say that Rich isn't actually injured. He just got that annoyed without having the facilities in the changing rooms. But that's I couldn't possibly comment on that.
So if you blow dry your hair before, that means you don't actually need that much work after. So you're doing your prep.
Well, now we know.
Now we know.
Yes. Right. Well, also, Lewis has tweeted in, how much do you budget for your haircut? £3 a month.
Yeah. What kind of podcast is this?
Well, we like to cover all bases. We, football manager, haircuts, self-preening.
Right, long story, very short.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's about £3 a month. I've done every, 10 days, 14 days, and then... which is like £5. I've got a little deal going on, and then a normal cut for tenner, so £20.
That's amazing. That is. Did you go to college?
Hairdressers.
You can plug them in.
Top Knots. Haley at Top Knots.
Good plug there. So everyone knows they do a deal now. So, all ask for that deal.
The Brand deal.
After Richard Brand, please.
Hattie, the question for you, Richard, it doesn't involve hair, thankfully. What did it mean to you when you were named D&D's best ever first team player at the 20th anniversary dinner?
Right, wasn't it? Nice little award. It obviously meant quite a lot. I can't talk properly.
You're still thinking about it, yeah. Dave, was it a secret ballot? How did you do it?
We've had a lot of abuse from a lot of current and ex-players over the whole, because we did a team of 20 years for both first team and combination team. And obviously I could only go off 8 years that I'd been at the club, and there was 12 years before me. Mm. So I think there was about 10 of us sort of sat down together, and we got to the prospect about 5:30, and we were like, well, we've done it in an hour, done it in half an hour, we were there till it closed. And it took a long while to do, so we didn't want the people to know they were in it. We didn't involve people that we knew would definitely be up for these awards as well, so I'm sure Rich, not expected to win, but I'm sure he knew knew he'd be in the running. He's a great winner of the award. It's
very honoured
to him as a player and a person and a D&D legend, which he
there
is.
There you go. So is that the D&D Hall of Fame's first entrant?
Probably, yeah. I mean, that's the first time we've done anything like that. So it's, as I say, we've had a lot of people saying, how did he get in, but I didn't get in. He did this, I did that, I played for this many.
You get some people a bit, that's fine.
Hater's going to hate.
Yeah, all the abuse tends to be aimed at me, but it wasn't just me who decided it, so yes.
Great stuff. Right, also, Dave, a question for you, also from Matty. What did it mean for you to be recognised by the Alaman FA for all the admin work that you do?
You do a flipping lot. It has to be said. From an outsider, I can tell you do a lot of D&D. Yes. I remember back in the day when you used to have your camcorder out and you do the D&D crossbar challenge, yes, which the FA actually adopted a couple of seasons later with Paddy Powden.
So. I think we give it up after 4 years when no one had come close. And every year we're like, I'll do the crossbar challenge, and then I was like, lads, it takes me days and weeks to do that video.
It was good though. It was the most attendance at training ever.
Yeah, it's like people have come out of the woodwork.
Bring it back.
Who knows? Hashtag who knows? Get it on a windy Nobles Park and might actually do it, but it meant a lot, obviously, to win that award. Won it a couple of years ago. It meant a lot for a few reasons. On the night, I believe I was the most voted for person for any award, which I got told. Lewis Qualtro also gave me a glowing endorsement, saying if there was ever an award that I'd be nominated for, he'd back it 100% because he agrees with it. So it was great to be recognised, and it was a good little period for me because the week before I'd been made life member of D&D as well.
Wow.
There were only four of us, so that was fantastic as well. And we'd had a good, that was my first year as combi manager. We finished sixth, which is our best ever season. We won in the Junior Cup for the first time in 9 years. So yeah, that little period there was very, very good. Lawrence Looney sort of joked to me at the time, was the most beloved man in Douglas at the time. But I don't know about that.
What a title!
I disputed that, obviously, but it was. I did feel very, very wanted and very appreciated at the time. And sometimes, doing the stuff that I do, you do question whether it's you're getting out of it, what you're putting in. And for things like that, you know, it makes it worthwhile.
Well, it's funny, we had Tony Meppen obviously won the Ironman Sports Awards last year, yes. Administrator of the Year. After,
well deserved.
Yeah,
as well.
Well deserved. Yeah. The 200 fixtures, whatever nightmare we had last year. And he was very keen to stress that people should just get involved with the administrative strike side of things, you know. And I suppose you'd echo that, you know. You do a lot, but if someone else offers to do something, it makes a big difference, and it takes a bit of the load.
It does, because, you know, ultimately it leads to the senior team, your first team, the points on the board, results, etc. But you've got to have an infrastructure in place around that. And when I joined the club, you know, I got an opportunity to get on the committee and be secretary after my first season at the club, which I obviously took.
Yeah.
And got heavily involved in the organisation of the club. And, you know, I wanted to see us push on, because obviously I'm not good enough to score the winning goal in a game for the first team.
True.
A few combi games, but so I, you know, you can influence the club in other ways, and I wanted to influence in a different way. And I think I have. I think I've had a positive impact on the club. But it's
very much so, by the way.
It's been a long road. It's a work in progress. Obviously a lot of work went on before I joined the club, and the club wouldn't be here today without people that have put in that effort. And you know, it is a bit of a thankless task at times, but it's always when people have had a few beers and they always say, I really appreciate what you do, you know, what you do does a lot for us.
It gets very angry though, I have to bring that.
People make me angry, Rich. It doesn't come from within. It's usually as a result of someone doing something.
Texts are very blunt.
I do add hello to my text now, which I can't. It used to just be £10 for yellow card, please bring to training. But, I've learned that now, that it's I start with a hello and end with a goodbye. So I'm growing.
That's personal growth, as you say. Development.
Right, the next tweet was came in from Jamie Delaney.
Is ex-D&D player, of course.
Yeah. Is Ben Skelton the strangest man to ever wear the famous D&D
shirt? Just take the just remove the last bit and just say, is he the strangest man?
Yeah.
You've got an answer to the question.
What was his nickname?
Abu.
Abu,
there was that incident when, and what happened was, in his first season at the club, he joined, it was when a season we were really struggling for players.
In January.
It was actually, we might have gone under had it not been a really bad winter. We had 8 weeks games off.
Right.
And then in the January, we got a few new players in, didn't we, including Ben Skelton. Turned up in an Abu Dhabi shirt.
Who was?
Must be the only person away shirt, of course. The only person in the world who's got that shirt. So he instantly became Abu. And he's a Norwich fan, of course. He's not even an Arsenal fan. So he wore that shirt, so he became a boom, and he scored a few weeks later for the first team, didn't he? And I phoned up Manx Radio and I said, Ben, Abu, Skelton scored, you know. And you know, Manx Radio, they quite often mishear you, which is, you know, it's understandable. And they announced that it was Nabu Shelton. So I think you reported it in the paper the week after, our African goal scoring sensation. Ben Skelton, he's obviously a good friend of Jamie Delaney's. Jamie used to play for us, he's now at Braddon, and one of a number of players at Braddon who used to be at us. He's a character, to say the least. Speaking of D&D shirts though, he stole the kit once, didn't he? It was Carl Lace, our ex-manager, used to give, you know, a sign who was going to wash the
last
kit.
Last game of the season.
Last game of the season, gave it to Ben Skelton. And then I was like, oh, don't do that. I said, don't trust anyone with equipment you wouldn't give your own stuff. So he took that and he thought he'd wind me up and give it to Abu. And, you know, it came to pre-season, got some friendlies 3-4 months later. Where's that kit? And chasing him 4 months, you know what I'm like, with my text, as Rich has touched on, chasing him. Couldn't get anything out of him. Went to his house. Thousands of pounds worth of stuff, and we can't play naked. So I said to his dad, I said, is Ben there, please? He said, yeah, I'll just get him for you. Who is it? I said, it's Dave from football. He said, he doesn't live here anymore. And I was like, well, he did a minute ago. You know, what do you say in that scenario? So I said, you know, there's probably a kit bag in his room. Could you just have a look? It's just, no, I'm sorry. I had a time. Close the door on me. So then it continued, didn't it? After
went round his mum's
house. Yeah, Richie went round his mum's house. We eventually got it back, but he's definitely...
Did he wash it?
One time he washed it with... I think he covered it in washing detergent. Two times he washed it. Sorry to ravel on. But two times he washed it. One time he turned up, very late, about 20 minutes before kickoff. Kit was soaking wet through. Had no option but to just wear a soaking wet kit. That was a great one. You know, it was like, we were all angry, but it was like, let's just put the kit on and play. Then another one, last game of the season, it might have been before that, turned up, big blobs of bold or whatever, all over the kit, big green blobs sticking together, he had to peel the shirt, it's like he washed it without water.
Did he?
So,
badge as well?
Oh no, that was Hadji, that. When,
shout out to Hadji.
Yeah, so...
This is why D&D is such a cult club.
Yeah, well, it's because of characters like him, but I'd say the strangest character to play for D&D, it's got to be one man for me.
Mike Martin,
yeah, the man, the myth, the legend.
I don't want to scare him though, because annoy him, because he's quite scary.
I'll leave it at that, but if I had to pick, I would say Mike Martin.
Good question, Jamie. So, Andy Gosnell, your former coach and coaching guru now on the Isle of Man. He's had a few clubs now. He says to Rich, would you rather play up front with Craig Carron, in the middle with Rob Jones, or at the back with Chris Redcard's Barrows?
Great question, by the way.
A boys' question, that, isn't it? All the gang there.
Click. Yes. Great question. I would say, if I had to pick one, it'd be at the back with Bowers.
Okay.
There was a nice little cut run we had in 2013.
That was when him and... I mean, obviously, Richie traditionally has played further forward, but he can play anyway, play a number of roles. And
like Paul Warhurst.
Yes.
Nicholas Alexanderson,
older legend, yeah. So we had a season where we had quite a strong squad, but we were weak at centre-back. And, you know, we had options in midfield where Richie could play and up front. So we, Carl Lace put Richie centre-back, which he had done on a few occasions before. We played the full season, and we had our best ever defensive season with, there was Sandy Corsi in goal, Richie Brand, George Hadji Christian, and Chris Bowers as well. And then there was Dober, Delaney, people that had to fill in. So there was, so I think he influences the game more from the back, because, you know, it's all well and good Rich getting 2 and us getting beat 5-2. But if we win 1-0,
they say as your career progresses, you get further back the field. You know, you could be Mateus Sammer, the sweeper role, just mopping up at the back. Yeah. You know,
maybe when you recover from injury, a bit lighter.
The quarterback role dictating play. You know,
I play wherever the gaffer plays me.
Good answer. Next one coming is from Andy's best mate, Andy Ball.
Yeah, Biscuit King.
Any more confession related tweets?
No, we haven't had any tweets this week. I think the last one was that we had the Super Noodles, didn't we?
Yes.
That's a good question. Super Noodle or Pot Noodle Boys?
What a question that is. I don't really have as much now, but I would say I like to have like bread to accompany either.
Yeah, that's fine, but which would you?
Let me finish.
Don't rush it. Serious stuff.
So if the bread's involved, I would go with a super noodle sandwich, kind of.
I'm a big fan of that. I like super noodles on a naan bread.
I've never tried that.
With a bit of cheese on top, man.
Cheese with everything's good, but the neither really for me, but pot noodle for mainly convenience, because I bring a pack of super noodles to work. Getting out of the pan, boiling it for a while, rather than just
microwave.
As I say, mate, I'm not really.
No, it tastes the same.
They don't know.
You have to put the effort in with the hob.
So I don't think it's fair, to be honest, Andy, putting them against each other. They're a different noodle market. One is in a pot for a kettle, and the other is for a pan. So it's not. Really.
I can see what you're saying.
I really feel like I haven't lived, because I haven't tried the super noodle on bread.
Get out, Dave. Get out.
Try toast.
Noodles on
toast is quite
good.
Right, it's lunchtime, I think.
Here's the pot noodle, please. As we say, Andy's question.
Yeah, we digress. Right, is Will Cavan's head upside down?
That's a bit harsh, that.
It's not. It's mainly because, I don't know if you've seen him recently, he is sporting one of the gigantic beards that you see about.
Oh, yeah, with no hair on top.
He has no hair. He hasn't done for a few years. And, you know, he's been growing this for a while. And I'd say I mentioned it to him twice a week, that it annoys me and I don't like it, and he's got to get it shaved, and he always reassures me that he will. And he's actually informed me he has an appointment to get it trimmed. An appointment, yeah. So Andy, exclusive for you here.
Get you top knots, will you?
He's got it booked in for the day before we go on tour, so it's a Thursday evening, so it's especially for tour by the looks of it. So
I'm guessing that, having been on a few sports tours, that's in case you took matters into your own hands. You know?
Well, I probably would have done, because it's, as I say, it's not my favourite thing in the world.
Just use your blow dryer, does he?
Well, you can if you want.
I have to say that that look with the skinhead with the big beard reminds me. Do you remember when you were a kid and you had the iron filings when you used to with a magnet and you used to
play? Yeah, the little magnetic.
Sort of. It does look like you could knock up on that, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, there is one advantage to Will having this beard. Obviously, people can tell Will and Paul apart because Paul also plays for us, his twin brother, yeah. Who doesn't have a beard. So there's the right back who doesn't have a beard and the goalkeeper who does have a big beard.
I'm talking of beards, just a nice little segue. Douglas Athletic last week, Danny Pennington's beard, I've seen it recently. It is an absolute corker.
It's good, isn't it?
Yeah, it's belting. He was in Team of the Week this week, of course, another FA Cup special. He almost got in just for the beard, yeah. But he actually did play well at the back, even though he lost 5-1. And he got an assist, which is part of the game. But his beard is tremendous. The amount of hours he must put into that. It must rival your blowjob.
Far more than me, I put in. Yeah,
there must be conditioning and all sorts.
Yeah, definitely.
You're not jealous, are you?
I'm a little bit jealous, yeah. Luke Callister, see the Twitter questions just keep coming, don't they?
Yeah, we're doing it.
Your current first team centre-half, is it?
Yes, as touched on before, him giving away a penalty and missing a sitter.
Oh, is that Turtle?
Yes, okay.
Rich, he wants to know when you're going to take up the management role. D&D.
Well, they've got a manager at the moment in Rick, so no time soon. But I've done it before,
Rich has had his chance. He was first team manager when I joined.
This is my chance.
And he put me. He gave me my first team debut, and it's.
I think it was a manager at 21, I think.
Yeah, 22, cool. I think it was. Rich was a good manager for a season, but I don't know if maybe picking me for the first team was the wrong choice and possibly. Club looking for a different direction.
Had you, Enzo, Cipelli, Liam Top, anyway. But no, going back to the question in hand by Turtle, it's that's a chapter of my life. I'm looking ahead now.
You're more boardroom level, you're thinking.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. You did manage the company. I think you should try that first.
We have done a bit during that, yeah. Richie was injured for the start of the season, and obviously I was generally injured, so I assisted Richie for a company.
They've got out of vogue then, haven't they, duos? You remember
he was... Roy Evans and Gerard Hurley.
Yeah,
Kirbishley had someone with him at Charlton for a while, didn't he? Les Reed, but we should bring them back. Like Targetman have come back this year, haven't they? Especially in Manx football, Sean Doyle, Martin Cowan.
When I first joined, I think it was you and McElhaggy were going to do it together, and it sort of turned out to just be you, didn't it?
Yeah.
Is he still in Singapore?
Yes. Might get a listen out there this week. Bizarrely, if you know the reason for this, please do tweet us. We've had. 12 listens in Senegal this month, and 14 in Japan.
That's incredible, by the way.
Well, thanks, but I don't know why, because it's Manx football tradition.
People change their IP addresses.
Probably you, Dave, isn't it?
Yeah.
Put a VPN to Japan,
get the dodgy
Japan.
Netflix.
They always say the Senegalese Netflix is the...
It's the one to go for.
You'd be surprised how far you reach, because, James McElhaggy, one of our ex-players... he occasionally engages on social media, liking and commenting on stuff we've had in the past. So, he does keep an eye out on us. And, we've got players who live in the UK that regularly comment and, post on social media just asking.
Crazy, yeah. We'll have to keep an eye on the reach this week. Thinking of Japan, though, Sean Kelly is out there at the moment.
That'll be it.
I have made the Big in Japan joke about 4 times about him. So perhaps he is listening. He is the man that is listening in Japan. All right, Tristan Ringham, former podcast guest.
He is, and Onken legend.
Onken legend, yeah. Was Jonathan Bradley the worst ever player to play for D&D?
Yes.
Simple.
Bradders.
No, it was before my time. I actually know Bradley, though.
I actually enjoy playing Bradders just because he just give the ball simple. So I know he's obviously good mates with Bradders. But, so I'm going to say yes, he was. But actually,
he wasn't under consideration for the best ever team. Right. So I'll mention that. But funny, you should mention that, actually. When we were discussing the best ever team, we had sort of half the teams wrote out, and Bradley was in the pub at the time and walked past and said, "What are you boys doing here? What are you all doing?" And we were sort of, "That's 20th anniversary." He's like, "Oh, where am I?" And he saw his name wasn't on the list, and he stormed off.
He's coming to you since?
Well, pass.
When I first joined, as a young 19-year-old, he made me feel really welcome as well, so I've got a lot of time for Bradley.
There you go. Dave's favourite question?
Yeah, we'll end on our favourite. Favourite Chinese takeaway?
I'll let Dave go first.
Okay. personally, being an Onken boy at heart, it's Luntang Garden.
Right.
It's been taken over now. It's no longer Kin Man, unfortunately.
Kin Man, obviously, an old school colleague of ours.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it's It has continued to be good. I think it's been a month since it's been done. We've got to mention Majestic as well.
Yeah.
Simon Lee, our player, obviously works at the Majestic as well. So if I didn't mention him, he'd probably send us a little message later.
Corinne?
Oh, okay.
Big fan of her.
Okay,
I like a bit of crispy shredded beef.
Ooh, yeah. Oh,
sweet and sour sauce.
That's nice, yeah. Well, Dave, what's your favourite dish?
Fairly boring, sweet and sour chicken.
Sweet and sour chicken. Well, you can't really go wrong with sweet and sour chicken.
It's,
really,
yeah, it's default, Dave.
Adventurous, really.
Well, that's the end of the Twitter questions. The whole, there was a fair spectrum.
Show,
yeah, yeah. But before we look ahead to Saturday's fixtures with the boys, it'd be remiss of us not to do it while they're here. Dave, you caught up with Peel's Tom Wood and Foxdale Gaffer's Robbie Jack after Saturday's dramatic, that's the only word really for it, isn't it, FA Cup semi-final.
Yeah, Tom, of course, scored the 93rd minute winner,
yeah,
as Peel came from behind to beat Foxdale. He was full of compliments, full of praise for Foxdale. I think they'll do well next season. And also, yeah, Robbie Jack is in a philosophical and upbeat mood. Yeah.
Right, we'll have a listen to that now.
Hi Tom, thanks for taking the time to talk to us. Talk us through those final few seconds. What a dramatic ending.
I know, well, don't know, just trying to push for that winner and then it dropped to my feet and I put it in the net. And then
what elation, what was going through your head then?
Just pure elation.
Yeah.
Get to the final and then see what happens.
I mean, obviously defending champions, many people expected you to win, but what an effort by Foxdale.
Yeah, great game. Credit to Foxdale because came down here and put in a massive shift and were just unlucky at the end there.
Yeah, and you know, how do you think they'll fare like next season? Do you think they can push on up to the Premier League?
Definitely, they've got a really good side and there's a few like old Peel boys in there. A few old Peel boys in there that are doing well, so I think they've got a really good chance in the Premier League.
Yep, and for you, obviously, well, what a moment for you. It was a frustrating game for everyone in the Peel shirt up until when Ash got that equaliser. Yeah. That's what he brings to the team, isn't it, though?
No, definitely, and it's a shame that he's going because he's a credit to the team. We're going to miss him dearly, but yeah, wish him all the best of luck out there.
Fantastic. Well, thanks for taking the time. Good luck for the final.
Cheers, thank you very much.
Right, Robbie, well, what can we say? What, football can be a cruel game sometimes, can't it?
Yeah, it can, yeah. It's just been proven, yeah.
93rd minute winner for Peel, but you guys gave it absolutely everything. You could see what it did to the players at the end, but they should be proud of themselves.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they're in there now. They're having a laugh and a joke, you know. I mean, they're not too downbeat about anything. Obviously, it's a bit cruel how it finished, you know, the injury time, but I think the lads have really done themselves proud there, and I think the whole village can see that. So
absolutely, and you held on to the lead for such a long time in that game, didn't you?
Yeah.
And what did you say to the lads at half time?
Well, it was just pretty much more of the same, because I mean, to come and play a team like Peel, I mean, you're not going to outplay them, you've got to frustrate them, sort of thing. So I mean, that was the game plan the first half. It didn't change going 1-0 up. So yeah, more of the same.
And even when Ash got the equaliser, they still kept it together. They played well and they defended as a team, but it wasn't desperate defending, really, was it? It wasn't like a backs against the wall job for the entire match.
No, well, I mean, we set up quite well to deal with this game. We weren't just playing the back four. I mean, we had someone plugged right in front of them there as well. So I mean, that was just to take the pressure off the back four a bit, and it seemed to work all the way through the game. So I mean, the longer the game went on and the more people were getting frustrated, the more it was in our favour in a way. But
and then obviously they hit the woodwork twice in the first half, and then Stewie failed, pulled off a fantastic save to deny Holdaway. At that moment, did you think it was going to be your day?
I don't know, I think it was about 4 or 5 moments in there where I thought it was going to be my day, and then I don't know, a bit up and down really.
But obviously so many positives to take out of this. You've still got quite a few games left to play this season in the league.
Yep.
Do you think there's still a chance you can get promoted?
It would have to be a bit of a miracle now. I mean, Braddon have got a good few games in hand and they're a really strong team, but I mean, if we can perform half as good as that for the last 6 games of the season, we're with a shout, aren't we? So
absolutely. And I interviewed Tom Wood after the game as well, and he said, you know, you guys, if you keep playing like that, you've got a great team there, there's no reason why you can't get promoted, if not this year, next year.
Yeah, well, I think the start of the season our plan was to be up there or thereabouts, you know, maybe go for the Gold Cup this season, have a good cup run. So I mean, we've done that in the FA Cup here, so I mean, all in all, the season will be a success whichever way it goes now, but we have got those last 6 games to concentrate on, and okay, hopefully I want to win 5 out of 6 of them anyway.
Well, commiserations, but also congratulations to you and the entire team, because that was a fantastic performance.
Cheers, thanks, Dave.
Right, welcome back, chaps. It's time, as always, to look ahead to Saturday's games. We're going to—I say Saturday—we're going to kick off a little bit earlier this week, aren't we?
It's been postponed. We should say.
Has it, St. John's?
I can confirm that game.
Oh, of course! Breaking news. Is it? Is it off?
Off Waterlogged Pitch.
Waterlogged Pitch, flipping heck. And I noticed there's we'll come to that a bit later on, but there's also a game off in Division 2 already as well. Rycop versus Douglas Royal. Is that waterlogging as well?
Yeah, the score called that off earlier.
Flipping heck. They're dropping like flies already, Dave. Yeah. There was that downpour last night.
That's
what I did. So I was correct. We'll look ahead to Saturday's games now. There's two big games in the Woods Cup this weekend, isn't there?
Yeah, and the highlight of which, Bradman v Pulley. I think this could be a bit of a crack at this.
I'm going for a 7-8.
7-8.
Rarely seen 15 goal thriller.
Thriller being the operative word there.
I reckon Andy Glover to score the winner against his old club late on.
Possibly save a penalty as well. Yeah.
Save a penalty as well?
You never know.
Right. I think Sticks would be something to say about that. But it's 7-8. There's going to be goals in this one. Chaps, you've obviously played both teams. They both like to attack, don't they?
Yeah, I couldn't disagree with that. They both scored goals. I think, was it Darren Flanagan was playing last week?
Yeah.
Great player. Obviously, Andy Glover's a really good player as well, and other players in both teams, so I can see a lot of goals.
Yeah, they played each other early in the year, didn't they? And I think Braddon won 5-4.
Yeah, that was
a real test for Braddon. And so, you know, I would expect Braddon to win, but I think Paul Rose will know they can hurt them, and I think Braddon will know that, so they'll be a bit more wary. So it'll be an interesting one, that, but I would expect Braddon to...
Probably go into that on the back of a 4-1 win against Oakland last week.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Which is another big one, yeah.
Yeah. They've had a great season.
They're great going forward, Paul Rose. You know, yep. They've got Barry English, Dave Skill still playing as well.
I think Dave's lives across now. But I think the thing with Pulley, which is probably interesting to note, is that this is probably their equivalent of the final. They need it because realistically, they're probably not going to feature in the Gold Cup when all the rearranged games have been played. So if they want to have any silverware, Paul Guyver's got to get them fired up for this and through to the final.
I think, they will be fired up. I wouldn't be surprised if this went to extra time, to be honest.
7-8, you heard it here first, and that's the first semi-final. Dave, you're off to the other one, aren't you?
Yeah, Castletown Gyms. Castletown going to this as favourites. They're still second in the league, as you alluded to before, Dave. It's been a bit hit and miss for them lately, but against Gyms, we say it every week. Jekyll and Hyde side.
What was the week it came up? I can't remember.
We couldn't think
of another one for inconsistent, can we? But they are. Well, they could have a run. They could get to a cup final though if they get the quarter by this one.
And they beat UCD 7-2, I think, last week, Jim. So they're going to it on a high, and you know they may just pull for shock here, but I still think Town will go through.
Boys, what do you think? Obviously, you've come across both teams this season.
I'd say. Agree with Dave again there, Castletown. I think they've just got a little bit more up top.
Yeah.
I think they'll be buoyed as well by beating Royals in the early rounds. So that's one of the big boys out. So you know it's a real potential for them to win something. And they had a good. I think they drew recently, Castletown Gyms.
Yeah, so I think it was 3-3 all.
Sets it up nicely for a semi final.
Jordan Cooper scored a couple of goals against his old club. I think you predicted that as well, didn't you?
Did.
Mystic Dave. Talking of Mystic, we've had the vote results. We did one of our near world famous Manx Footy Pod votes on Twitter this week. Who we thought of the semi-finalists were going to win the Woods Cup themselves. That's a whopping 85 people cast their votes. Dave, did you cast a vote?
I was two of the votes. I did it on behalf of me and the club.
Well, there you go. Manipulation of votes already.
Yeah. I obviously asked every single member of the club who they thought, and the majority said Braddon.
Yes, 68% of the 85 went for Braddon, 15 for Castletown, 11 for Paul Rose, and 6 for Jims.
Watch it
be Jims Pulley in the final over the Easter weekend. Both games should be cracking though, so if you're out and about this weekend, I'd say obviously if you're not going to watch Douglas and District play, go and see one of these games.
Hopefully tweets from both. I'll be at Castletown and Hattie's at Braddon v Pulley.
The hitman will be out with the multimedia mogul, that is Paul Hatton, will be there with his camera phone. He's got a new phone apparently, so
God help us.
we'll see how he gets on with that this week. In the Premier League, there's three games this week, just a bit of mopping up at the moment, although the final nail could be put in Ian Mills' Premier League coffin, couldn't it, Dave?
It can. They travel down to Peel. This, again, you can't look past Peel winning this one, can you?
It's fair to say we wrote them off a couple of weeks ago when they lost to Colby, didn't they?
Yeah, 4-1 it was. Colby were good value for that. Mills, they have got some good young players there. You know, Mills have got a good reputation for young players, but I do think at this point they need to go down, regroup, get a good feel-good factor back in the club, and then come back up. Yeah, Peel probably put them out of their misery here.
I think Peel won the last eight as well, so not really the time to be facing them, especially when they've got an FA Cup final coming up against St George's, which I'm sure they'll want to hit the ground running with.
They will, but it'll be interesting to see what their team selection is like, whether they rest anyone.
Yeah, that's it. Well, when does Ash go? I know where Ash does go.
So this could be his last night.
Day after we play at Brennan.
Yeah. He might be packing, you know. There you go.
Super noodles or pot noodles.
Big game at Blackberry Lane. Well, sort of a big game at Blackberry Lane. It's going to be, you know, Old Boys have been wanting to put on a performance against St George's.
Yeah, obviously George's have long since won the title. Again, like Peel, they'll just be sort of warming up and warming up to the FA Cup final. Again, be interesting to see what sort of team they put out. Old Boys did really well against Corinthians last month, didn't they? It was a 3-1 win down at the bowl, so on their day they can pull out a good result.
To touch on Geordie's boys, they're just another phenomenal season for them, really, isn't it?
It's brilliant, isn't it?
Yeah, so I put it down to Andrew Gosnell being their coach. Obviously, started with us and works his way through. Obviously, Andrew's still heavily involved in our juniors. And I sort of joked with Gosy in the summer, because obviously he'd moved to St George's. I said, just imagine, mate, imagine this is the year they don't win it. And he said, don't say that. But obviously, it's all come good. And yeah, it's testament to those lads that, you know, the amount of players that have been playing for that long and winning that often, you know, to have that drive is unbelievable.
And something for other clubs to aspire to, isn't it? The dedication is unbelievable. Ramsey, still not quite safe.
No, they face a tricky game at home to St Mary's this weekend, though.
I've said in the paper, I've sort of been echoing the line, I think they could beat St Mary's this week.
Yeah, I think that, well, we saw it against Old Boys and Laxey recently, didn't we? That Ramsey could put a good show on their day.
So Mary seems to be having the wheels have come off, end of season,
yeah,
big style.
Yeah, not much to play for, really, is there?
They lost to Athletic in the FA Cup, and then last week they lost again in the to Corinthians quite heavily in the league, and obviously that ruled them out of the race for second.
Should give Corinthians a shout, actually. It was, they've recorded their best ever finish, second place.
So I think Ramsey could get points, but of course it's all, it's all redundant, isn't it, if Mills, Peel beat Mills.
Yeah, exactly.
I do worry about, just quickly, Ramsey's attacking line, I do worry about that.
You worry about
that? There's a certain Quattro, isn't there?
Hasn't he been
playing in attack now?
They've put him up front. Yeah. Is he giving you any insight to this?
I believe he said something along the lines of, if you don't put him up front, I'm leaving. Or something like that. No, I'm joking. He's a very good defender. I think he
was.
He should. I think he's an attacking player. I think I'm not just saying this to big him up. I think he's got a good. Good
attribute. You say he's got good feet for a big man.
Yeah. No, he can finish.
Ramsey got a young team, and to be honest, it wouldn't probably hurt to have an experienced head up top. We can call Lewis experienced now. You know, he's
51 playing walking football.
Yeah, just keep himself sharp there. I think potentially this will be a draw, and it would, I'd say, it would help. It doesn't really affect either side, does it?
No, it doesn't. I think St Mary's will nick this one.
Oh, there you go, boys. Which do you agree with Dave on that one?
I'd agree with everything you've just said. I think St George's, not just blanket, but you have to say St George's, Peel and St Mary's for those three games, yeah.
Rich?
Geordie's, just Peel and a draw.
Ooh, he's going for a draw. I'm going on the coupon for a draw. Right, before we look through Division 2, three games, here's a word from our sponsor.
I'm going to keep this short. It's 2017, make a smart decision. After picking up over 100,000 members, Cornerstone are now so confident that once men try their razor and shaving products, they won't go back to their old razor. So you can now get an award-winning razor from just £4 with £10 off. Just visit cornerstone.co.uk/Manx to get started.
Right, welcome back. We've still got the D&D boys here with us. Final look ahead to a few of the games in Division 2. There's two games on now, because another breaking news from Rich. Rycob versus Douglas Royal is off, so there are now only two games on. Starting with your game, you're away at Crosby, Moran versus Douglas and District. I think I'm often wrong, so I could be wrong here. 6-2 in the reverse, wasn't it?
Yeah, they sort of gave us a good hiding last time.
Yeah.
So, what's the mood in the camp ahead of this one?
I wasn't at training the other day, but
It's It's back to the league because obviously we've missed, we've played a few cup games recently. We obviously had Royals in the league the other week and lost 3-0. But, you know, I think this is the third or fourth time we've attempted to play Moran away, but obviously they've had troubles with their pitch, which is fine. But if we turn up on the day, we can definitely give them a game. I think for a lot of that game when we lost 6-2, we were in it. We were 3-2 down at half time. We were well in the game, and then I think we just capitulated a little bit. And again, our friend Luke Callister missed a penalty in that game. But he did that on purpose, apparently.
You have to ask why. Was he spot betting? Or?
Well, if you put it, I'm sure, I think he gave me 10 different reasons why. It would never be, I'm sorry, I just took a bad penalty, lads. It's everyone else's fault, you know. I think we've got a decent squad for tomorrow. It's a game we should be looking to get.
Tough, but yeah, why not?
How are your set pieces? When I saw Moran play a while ago, they did seem to suffer a little bit defending set pieces.
Scouting report from Dave.
Thanks, mate. All right, got a couple of routines.
Maybe
just not penalties.
Don't maybe score as many set pieces as we should do, but we create chances. So.
This should be a good game, that one. Crosby. The other game, Foxdale versus Michael, the team that they were with against the team they are with. This one should be straightforward with Foxdale. Michael are a bit adrift at the bottom now. I think that their scoring record's improved a little bit, isn't it?
Well, is it Michael Cole that's still leading the way for them?
I'm not sure. I'm quite keen to find out who is Michael's top goal scorer. I think he's probably on about 2 or 3. He's probably up there. But Foxdale, obviously, they've struggled with postponements. You know, Rich, your phone probably rings. You've got a direct line to Billy Goat from the bowl. How's the pitch? Oh, right. Okay.
Just got like a satellite image.
Webcam.
I must say, though, because I know they've gone through like a football foundation on getting some facilities for their pitch and a new tractor, etc. So they are looking at ways to improve. So I'll say that.
So they've struggled, though, with the postponements. They fell behind in the race for the top four, as it were. I think they're on 18.
Yep, still got 6 games to go in the league. So.
But they just need to get points on the board, don't they?
Yeah, they've still got a chance at promotion, haven't they? But with this, it'll be interesting to see how they motivate themselves after last week going up against Peel and producing such a good performance, but falling short at the last second. But no, they'll be buoyed by that performance, and they should be confident of another 3 points here.
Boys, you know, you've obviously played in struggling side. Michael went through in that bit of turmoil at the moment. They're struggling to score, struggling to get teams out. So, you know, have you got any? Is there any hope for them?
Definitely, obviously.
It's great. It's
great that they've carried on. You know, they've battled on. They've not pulled out of the league. You know, in the Combi League as well, because there's obviously a couple of sides we've had to pull out of that. Yeah. But they've battled on, and you know. These things come around, you know. If you look at, Michael were in the top division a couple of years ago, so I'm sure in the summer they'll get some new players in, and I'm sure they'll be a lot better next season. But you know, it's credit to the lads who are putting it in to get them through this season, because obviously it's a struggle. Because we know, you know, at times it's hard, isn't it? Over the years.
Yeah.
Fair. I echo what Dave said.
Right, I suppose we should offer a bit of a special look at Combi 2, Dave. You've got a game of Douglas Royal. That'll be tough, won't it? Because Royal are a decent side in that.
They are, of course. I predict goals. reason being, for some reason, this fixture just throws up ridiculous amounts of goals. There's 5-4 to Royals early in the season. Last year, away, we lost 7-3. Then the year before, we had a 6-6. And then the game before that, there was a 6-5. Honestly, if you look over the past 3 seasons, it's probably the highest scoring fixture in Manx football. But there's some decent goals on YouTube as well. If you look on our YouTube channel, there's a few goals from Douglas Royal Combi.
Yeah.
There's a Paul Surgeon free kick, which is a cracker. There was a Conrad Cumore free kick, which is a cracker. So they've always been great games. And, you know, I always joke with people like Kev Ballard, you know, another one, there you go. And then it's... end-to-end stuff. With it seems to be worldy after worldy as well. So I'm looking forward to the game up there.
You're going to have your daughter on the sidelines barking out instructions?
Shout out to my daughter Holly after she got very disgruntled after being mentioned on Manx Radio. So
we're here to please. Well, I'm actually wedding a Bella Fletcher on Saturday afternoon, so I might pop out and catch the second half of this if it's going to be as entertaining as
you
sure.
If you hear any roars, then I know a few of the Corinthians lads. And they say, I get messages afterwards, what was happening in your game? Every time I turn out, people are screaming, and, what was the score? And, I'm looking forward to it. It'll be a drab 0-0 now.
But it's very rare you get a 0-0 in Manx football.
Especially
for
D&D.
As we all testify. Right, guys, we've taken over enough of your valuable time. Thanks for coming in. Good luck on Sunday with the Master Team. Good luck on Saturday with the Combi. Good luck on Saturday with the First Team. And for the rest of the season, we've got a couple of months back. Hopefully, you'll get past that 25-point spark and keep building.
Fingers crossed, yeah.
So, thanks for having us.
No worries, boys. Before we go, especially said well done to Bella Kameen. He lifted the Ireland Senior School Shield on Thursday with a 2-1 win over St Ninians. A bit hurts a bit, that, doesn't it? St Ninians boys here.
Bella Kameen never even used to get near the final.
It's all changed, Dave. A report on that one, plus picks in one of our Steam publications next week. Finally, update from the States. Liam Doyle has been an unused sub in Swoop Park Rangers. That's a brilliant name, isn't it? Swoop Park. Dulleston District Rangers.
Yeah.
There you go. DDR. Deutschland Republic.
our junior teams, they often adopt little names like Dulleston District Dynamos and things like that. So, yes, Dulleston District Rangers.
There you go.
Billy Goat Rangers.
Billy Goat Rangers. Ooh, nice. Foxdale. Big naming change there. He's been on the bench for the first two games of the USL season. They've got a bit of a break now till April the 15th. And then they play Sacramento something or other. Something equally... I'm going to say ridiculous. Something along those lines.
Timberwolves.
I think it's Sacramento Republic something. But there you go. Don't quote me on that. My USL knowledge is not what it used to be. Right. Remember, you can tweet us day or night at Manx Footy Blog. Over 2,000 followers now, Dave.
Oh, God. What's going on?
It's shocking, isn't it? I think a lot of them are bots. But, yeah.
Two of them are me.
Two of them are Dave.
Yeah.
The two Dave. they follow us. While you can find all the podcasts, including this one, at audioboom.com/channel/Manx Football, or of course on iTunes. Right, till next week.
Ta-ta for now.
Ta-ta for now.